Isn't this a sports show?
We're here for a one-on-one interview with our friend Travis Kelce. Travis, I know you listen to a lot of almost entirely sports. What do you think about Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly?
I mean, I don't think they suck. I can tell you that.
Thank you, Travis.
Almost entirely.
I did the best I could. That's our new tagline. It's almost entirely sports on Sports Radio 810. I did the best I could.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hey, Beardsman, where's your Pokeball?
So Rudy and I have our Pokeballs out.
Yeah.
What?
Beards, where's yours?
Beards, take your Pokeball out. Come on, it's not as much fun if we don't all have our Pokeballs out.
I haven't bought mine yet.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I love walking into a Home Depot and go down the wood section.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
There was a time earlier today when I thought we might have a relatively thin number of topics to pick from tonight. No Royals today, so we talk about the fact that, you know, they're continuing to play baseball. Thought we'd talk a ton about all of the interesting NBA storylines as they, the NBA in general, had a fascinating weekend with some Game 7 action. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the Phoenix Suns are up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals, something that I think everyone should know about.
Never heard of
it's
them.
Just the best team in basketball is all.
Kentucky Wildcat legend, Devin Booker, triple-double.
His first career triple-double. I saw somebody tweet that it was in career game 420. I don't know that that's true, but I don't know why they would lie about it. So I figured we would go pretty basketball heavy over the course of the show today. We would have some guests that would help us bring in a little Chiefs and a little Royals. We're going to have our friend Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest in studio at 8 for the entire hour. And at 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Max Reaper of Royals Review. Again, thinking we'd do some mini camp observations with Matt. We'd talk about where the Royals are at right now with Max. And then the rest of the day began to unfold. After that, there was the news that I was talking to our own Todd Lebo earlier. He may have actually broken the news. He certainly was the one that asked Dayton more about it, and then Dayton put this out here before the Royals had announced it. Alberto Mondesi back to the IL. Oblique DL. On the other side.
No, what? IL. It is the
it's
IL.
It's the IL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't
Sorry.
You bleep
Sorry.
And correct me ever. When have I ever been wrong about anything?
So you screaming there?
Yeah.
Thank you. Because that somehow fixed my headphones.
I screamed and your eyes widened
no
and
joke,
I thought that something
I could
bad happened.
Barely hear anything, and now all of a sudden your scream somehow the echoes reverberated and fixed the headphone jack, and I can now hear out of both ears crystal clear.
What most people don't know actually, I guess you don't know this either, Rudy, is that 810 runs like the factory in Monsters Inc. off of screen power, and it's why Petro is so valuable. We don't pay electric bills around here.
It's true.
We just, Mondesi goes to the IL, and then you get ready for 2 o'clock to come around, and this baby's humming for a month. We might be good until October just off of pure, serene Mondesi energy. Just because it's all Monsters, Inc. style.
This is one of the funniest things that's ever happened. You're screaming. Fixed my headset.
I've perfectly explained it. I don't see what your confusion is here.
It's just so good.
It's just usually we're good all the way through. We just had so much power, so much energy already surging through the station that I was able to put us over the top there and fix your headphones. You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
So I thought we were going to talk about Mondesi going to the IL.
And then I made a sad fans on the Reddit Philadelphia 76ers edition.
Oh, yeah. Before that, Beards had planned and worked on a sad fans on Reddit 76ers edition because they just had a terrible playoff that ended in a heartbreaking way. After the day after, the Nets get eliminated by the Bucks, and then all of that was, we were going to do all that NBA stuff. We are still going to do sad fans. Sad fans takes precedence. Like, we're going to play the sad fans.
Yeah, I just want to say, certainly not like Beards is like, least favorite coaches in the NBA, or like, and by trash talk the most, it's like I've heard him say like one bad thing about each of the Bucks and the Hawks head coach, and here they are in the finals.
Yep, those dudes are not getting fired. Mike Budenholzer is going to be there for a minute.
I haven't said anything about Nate McMillan.
I feel like you maybe had a little bit, but it was definitely mostly Budenholzer.
Lloyd Pierce, definitely.
That might be it. You know, that might be true.
Wait, who? I'm confused now.
They fired Lloyd Pierce midseason.
Oh,
and
bleep,
Nate McMillan
I forgot about that.
Is now
okay. Fair point.
Going to end up. He's got to keep that job. He's in the conference finals.
Yeah. Fair point for Beards.
So we were going to do all that, and then Adalberto Mondesi goes to the IL. I was thinking, all right, well, we'll start talking about Mondesi because I got a lot of thoughts about what you do with Mondesi at this point. And, you know, I understand everyone's frustrations, but here's where I think you can be realistic and what all this actually means.
It's frustrating.
And then Frank Clark got arrested in Los Angeles for illegal possession of a firearm.
Eh, happens to the best of them.
And it turns out that we're going to have plenty for you over tonight's 3 hours. I want to start with Frank Clark, partially because it's the newest news, and at this point we have a limited amount of information that I think is ultimately going to make the conversation move along relatively smoothly. There's also a handful of other things going on in the sports world that, I thought we would get to today. We'll simply see. But here is the gist of it. TMZ had the report first because TMZ always has this bleep first.
I had two notifications from TMZ involving two separate football players being arrested
today. Yeah, because
I forget the other one.
Zaven Collins, yes, the Tulsa linebacker.
Yes, the Cardinals rookie.
I think he got arrested for a DUI or something.
Yes.
So the gist of it for Frank
Big
Clark
day for TMZ.
Is that he was arrested according to TMZ, and they've got like the screenshot. I say reportedly, but like, TMZ doesn't miss on this stuff very often. And when they really do, you remember it. I think they had Prince dying like too soon or something. I don't remember. Or no, it was he's a rapper. I think they had Lil Wayne like on death's door or something. But I don't remember the specifics of that.
We do make fun of TMZ quite a bit, and sometimes it's understandable. So, but also it seems like they are just always on top of this stuff.
The arrests and the deaths, TMZ has it.
TMZ generally has it.
So according to TMZ,
and when they don't, it's really bad.
Frank Clark was arrested for what could be a felony illegal possession of a firearm in the Los Angeles area on Sunday night. The report says that he had an Uzi in his Lambo SUV, which officers noticed in an open duffel bag during a, quote, routine traffic stop. According to the Kansas City Star, a report from Sam McDowell, that Clark was released on bail, $35,000, and was released about 2:30 this afternoon Pacific time. So he was, according to TMZ, still under arrest, still behind bars whenever the story came out. Since then, he's apparently posted bail. So this is the one thing with this, and it's probably why we'll end up talking about Mondesi still relatively soon, is because I don't think we have quite enough information here to go off of. We also know at this point, per multiple reports, including Matt Derrick, the Chiefs are aware of this. Obviously, but the less obvious part is that they're apparently not attempting to release a statement anytime soon. They're basically giving out no comments right now. Not surprising, I guess, because I don't know what they say at this point other than we have no real comment at this time.
They've also been like, we've seen it the last couple years of not necessarily rushing to make statements, right? It's kind of more of a, and not saying that they should, right? Like, if you don't have much to say, honestly, releasing the statement saying we don't have anything to say, while it's standard, I guess. Like, I don't necessarily need the Chiefs to release that within the first 30 minutes of the news breaking. Like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, I don't know what there is to say here necessarily. It is funny, though, that you're right. The Chiefs are always, they are happy to let other things play out or other people to make statements first if they can not lead on that front. So, we're talking about possession of one illegal firearm, I don't know if it's unregistered. I don't know what makes it illegal in this specific instance. I don't think we have enough details for all of that. But at Real Bird Lawyer on Twitter, a Chiefs fan, does the It's Always Sunny in Chiefs Kingdom podcast, and is a actual lawyer, not just a bird lawyer, was tweeting about some of the details of it that I thought were kind of interesting, brought some points to the surface. One saying that what he's charged with as of right now is possessing an illegal weapon, saying he says that assuming no further charges, he doesn't think it'll be a huge deal unless for some reason the feds want to charge him, which could make it a bigger deal. But they generally speaking, according to at Real Bird Lawyer, they usually have more important things to do. Also, he says any defense attorney worthy of repping an NFL player is going to be able to work a defense to possession of a bag in a car with a gun in it. NFL players frequently carry guns and occasionally get criminally charged for it, but I can't think of any off the top of my head that have faced any significant penalty for merely possessing a gun illegally. So they're going to, with all of that there being said, there are going to be a bunch of layers of this, and a bunch of this is going to pan out slowly. It would be pretty surprising to me, based off of that and some pretty surface level research and understanding. It would be pretty surprising to me if there are really serious federal charges here. Mm-hmm. It would not surprise me if there's something on the NFL front of, you know, the scuffing the shield or whatever, the sanctity of the league. I don't know if it would be the Chiefs or if it would be from the NFL. My guess is that it would be something relatively unified where the NFL could, not even saying will at this point. We have such minimal info here. It wouldn't surprise me, is what I'll say. It wouldn't surprise me if the NFL said, yeah, we're suspending Frank Clark for the first two games of the season for conduct detrimental to the league, which is such a vague umbrella. You can put it over anything. It doesn't matter if you're arrested, if you are detained, if you are charged with something, if you're... none of that actually matters once you get to the court of the NFL, because they can do whatever they want. You're an employee of a private organization. It doesn't have to be criminal. The CBA is pretty vague on a lot of that stuff. The NFL and NFLPA have their agreements that, you know, that have been much maligned over the years and on things that seem to come through as being more detrimental than this. He wasn't illegally discharging an illegal firearm. Nobody got hurt or anything like that. He wasn't, as far as we know, there was no like substance issues, whatever. You can go back to Bashaud Breeland from last year, who was arrested with I think it was weed and open alcohol containers. He wasn't suspended for that incident. He was suspended for an earlier incident, and as of right now, I'd be pretty surprised if he got suspended a year later for the particulars of that story. So I don't think there's any guarantee that Frank Clark gets suspended. I don't think there's any guarantee that he doesn't. I don't have anything to guarantee in terms of the actual legal ramifications of all of these things. But from the NFL side, it's going to be much like the Chiefs are doing right now, kind of a wait-and-see situation.
So, because the most recent player, and I'm sure there's been other ones, but at least the player that like popped in my head was Alden Smith, who's obviously Alden Smith back in 2013 was charged with three felony counts of three felony weapon charges, and then he also ended up with some two misdemeanor counts of driving under the influence.
Yeah.
He pled no contest and ultimately was sentenced to 12 days in jail for the weapon charges, 12 days in jail for the DUI charge, which again, Frank Clark doesn't have that.
Right.
And then ultimately, community service, paid some money, yada, yada. And then ultimately, the NFL did suspend him for 9 games. Now, he was also...
That's a repeat offender.
Exactly.
Now, it is worth noting, Frank Clark in Michigan had domestic violence charges that ended up, I think, got settled, if memory serves, and he got kicked off the team there. Those are not... He was not an NFL player during that time. So my best guess here, and this is something that Matt will be a good source, so I'm going to talk to him in a little while. But my understanding at this point is that he would not be a repeat offender in the eyes of the NFL because it wasn't while he was in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not one-to-one. Because even in just in the public eye, I mean, we went through this with Tyreek Hill with a bunch of stuff just being up in the air and not knowing where everything was going to end up landing. Tyreek Hill's original domestic violence story was from college years. Mm-hmm. If there would have ended up being a verifiable incident or more definitive charges that would have landed on him at the NFL level, I wouldn't have been surprised to see the NFL have gone about that as if he was a repeat offender, because that is such a tough thing to be like, no, it's no big deal. Now, ultimately, that whole thing ended up having a whole lot more layers into it that, where Tyreek Hill has not been suspended for an NFL game, and at this point, I don't think that's a mistake. It's just a very complicated story that spans years and all sorts of twists and turns that if you're listening to this show, you probably have a pretty good idea about. But particularly with Clark, and specifically with him, very, very few things would surprise me that land anywhere near sort of what seems like a middle ground of if he had a very severe punishment, I would be pretty surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something is going to come from it, even if it just ends up being some minor charges, if he pleads guilty or no contest or whatever, and it just sort of rolls off his back. That also wouldn't surprise me very much.
Yeah, and again, like, I am not a lawyer, a bird lawyer, or what? Any kind of animal lawyer. So
you're not a mammal lawyer, you're not an avian lawyer, you're not a fish lawyer.
This is obviously, I am speaking just, this is about the best educated guess I can make. Alden Smith, a person who had even, again, a history of other criminal records where the sentencing could have been much worse than what it was, and it had probably been justified. I'd be pretty stunned if Frank Clark got any sort of severe criminal charge, like any punishment.
As
right?
things stand currently,
think,
yeah.
Yeah, as things currently stand. And part of that is because also he's going to have a good lawyer because he can afford a really good lawyer. And that helps. So I'll be stunned if he yeah, based off what we know, if he faces any sort of real significant criminal. There'll probably be something, maybe some community service, right? Maybe you pay a fine, probably some little thing. And my guess is there's some sort of NFL suspension, but I don't really expect anything that big either, just based off what we know right now. It might like 4 games even still seems like I would be surprised if it's quite that much, but it feels like he probably gets at least 2.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, the NFL and their sentencing patterns is that there is no pattern, and that you really just never know.
Yeah, like, inconsistent.
Like you really just you can kind of come up with some educated guesses on stuff, but you can. Two people can make the same mistake within a year of each other and have very different, like the situation can be identical and they get suspended for a different set amount of games because that's just kind of how the NFL seems to work.
One other element, I'm glad you went that route, because the other thing is specifically with the Chiefs, we also have a relatively, unfortunately, I guess, a relatively decent sample size of how the Chiefs handle stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So a couple quick just data points, then I'll connect them all. But let me put all the points up on the board here first. You have Tyreek Hill with the stuff out of college, and then you have Tyreek Hill with the stories that ended up coming through a couple of years ago and how all of that ended up panning out. Don't even worry about the ending of that right now, but think about the processes of it. Then you have Frank Clark. They brought him in as a free agent, even though this was in his past from Michigan. Just the process of it, they brought him in. You have Kareem Hunt, who has an incident that is on video and also some other stuff that I'll come back to. He ends up getting released shortly after the video comes out. Those are the main three that come to mind right out of the gate. You have a couple things that seem similar and a couple things that are really important differences to keep in mind here. One is that, again, Tyreek Hill and Frank Clark both had stuff from college that ended up being sort of a second chance sort of thing. But the most important differentiations to make, I think, are in the Kareem Hunt versus Tyreek Hill processes, where we are led to believe, and I do tend to believe this, I can't say any of this with 100% certainty because I'm not Clark Hunt, but we are led to believe that Tyreek Hill was relatively forthright with the Chiefs throughout his entire process. The one, you know, with his kid and on the being with the Chiefs at the time.
The recent, the professional one.
Right.
Yeah.
We are led to believe that he was forthright and in pretty open communication with the Chiefs and, hey, here's what happened. And then as more evidence came out, it seems as if the evidence supported what Tyreek Hill's account was. With Kareem Hunt, we are led to believe, had been told by the Chiefs and by Clark Hunt, that he was not forthright throughout the process, that he lied to the Chiefs about what actually happened and whatever the incident was. And whenever the video came out and it showed him to be doing apparently things he had not admitted to doing to the Chiefs themselves, they said, we're not going to sit here and just let you lie to us and then also have to defend you in the court of public opinion when they were willing to do that for Tyreek Hill and say, we think you're riding with us here. You've been honest with us. We're going to go ahead and stand up whenever, you know, we're not going to make this move just to make a move whenever we believe what you're saying and we feel like you've been forthright with us. Also, there are many elements here of like, how it benefits the team. Tyreek Hill is more valuable than Kareem Hunt is and all of that stuff.
Positions.
Also a handful of people.
How good you are at those positions.
At least some people had tweeted about like how the Chiefs should cut Frank Clark. They couldn't if they wanted to. They literally, there's, if they, this is not going to happen, but if they cut Frank Clark this year, his cap hit would go from nearly $26 million to nearly $39 million. It's a bad contract.
You know how, like, sometimes you say they can't, but like they actually physically couldn't.
Yeah,
but
it's, no,
in this situation, like if they cut Frank Clark, somebody else also has to get cut.
If they
and
could,
that might be a player you really like.
The Frank Clark was sort of an interesting cap situation well before today.
Yeah.
So that just keep all that. Like you could do a post June 1st cut, and I think his dead money would be $25.3 million. They'd say $500,000, and that rest of that dead would come up next year. Anyway, they're not cutting Frank Clark.
No.
I don't think cutting a guy off of an illegal firearm possession is common anyway, and doing it, especially if I'm scrolling down the list here, because honestly, I'm not 100% sure about the right name to pull because they don't have a whole lot of depth at defensive end right now, but like, to yank a name from way down the down the depth chart.
Tim Ward.
If Omari Cobb or Tim Ward or whatever had a little, I'm sorry to put their name, that's totally,
sorry,
totally unfair.
I like you, Tim Ward.
But, you know, if you got one of these dudes that was a mini camp tryout and got the contract and then ultimately then he gets arrested for literally anything, you might just see that show up on the waiver wire report later mm-hmm. that day. It's not happening to anybody on a knee-jerk reaction a couple hours after the fact for anybody who exists up the depth chart and up the side. I'm not, that's not good. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just simply saying that is 100% the truth. Anyway, with all that being said, I don't expect the Chiefs to do anything formal probably anytime terribly soon. What I would expect is that this will play out. We'll see what he ends up pleading, and we'll see if anything else comes of it. And hopefully for his sake, for the Chiefs' sake, whatever, there's not anything else that this ends up like leading to. Hopefully he doesn't have a whole bunch more illegal guns somewhere, right? If it's just as it is at this moment, we'll probably see the NFL say that they'll look into it. And maybe he'll get a game or two for conduct detrimental to the league. The incredible, again, umbrella phrase that could suspend anybody for anything. And then maybe he'll miss a game or two. And maybe he won't. I would be surprised if it was anything terribly extreme just based off things currently stand. Mm-hmm. The bigger threat or concern or whatever would be if this leads to anything else in terms of federal prosecution, in terms of any other charges, in terms of anything else. And right now, it doesn't seem like that's happening. So in the grand scheme of things, so it seems relatively okay.
Yeah.
He didn't hurt anybody.
You wish it didn't happen.
For sure.
But and I like when it's all said and done, it seems like there should be minimal punishment for Frank Clark. And I don't.
He illegally owned a gun that he shouldn't have been owning.
Absolutely.
So if that comes with some sort of fine or something, if it comes with some form of game or two game suspension or whatever, you're not going to hear me complaining about that as being deeply totally unjust or anything like that. It's just not the worst, most complicated, difficult thing that we've had to talk about on this radio show around the Kansas City Chiefs in the last few years.
It's pretty straightforward as things stand, really, right? Like,
Seems like it.
He shouldn't have done it, and there probably should be some sort of minor punishment, you know, whatever that is, right? Like, just based off what other guys get, they're probably, again, some sort of fine. I imagine maybe some community service hours involved. NFL maybe suspends them for a couple games, and, you know, we just kind of all move on.
It was kind of funny, and not ha-ha funny, but like, you know, blow air out your nose.
Yeah.
Funny. I hope I didn't get a booger on my mic cover there. I don't think I did. I think I'm good. I was, as that story was breaking and Beard stuck his head into the office, he said, did you see the Frank Clark thing? And I went, no. I don't even know if I told you this at the time, Beards. I was reading our friend Nate Taylor's story about Chris Jones and Frank Clark on the playing defensive end and how the plan is for Chris Jones to play outside on first and second downs and kick in on third down and how there was a rep in minicamp. You should go read Nate's story. There was a rep in minicamp where, I don't know why I'm doing this voice, where Frank Clark and Chris Jones both beat Orlando Brown and Mike Rimmers and got to Patrick Mahomes at the same time, and that's what the Chiefs' vision is the future. I'm doing that voice because
it's
mini camp.
Impersonation. I get
it's definitely not. My Nate Taylor impression is they both got back there at the same time! They got back there to the quarterback! They hit him! They didn't hit him because it was minicamp. They're at the quarterback! It's my limited fake Nate impression because it's got...
Not bad.
I can't emulate Nate's like speaking voice, but I can try to get...
The high pitch.
To the high pitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The quintessential big moment, Nate making a high pitch voice. So I think that's that. Obviously, we'll talk about it with Matt Derrick here in about 30 minutes whenever he's in the building, and we'll see if he's got anything else and what he thinks about how this stands up to other somewhat similar but not directly super comparable issues the Chiefs have faced that have shown up in the NFL and all of that stuff. We will take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about something less frustrating, Adalberto Mondesi. If you've ever wondered what it looks like for Fernando Tatis Jr. to be made out of, you know, those long LED, like the lights that you see in office buildings and stuff, and if you drop them, they shatter into a billion pieces.
Pieces is not the right word. It really is dust.
It's dust.
It's basically just glass dust.
Yeah. Adalberto Mondesi at this point is basically Fernando Tatis made out of that stuff. Yeah. And it makes me really sad. And we're going to talk about it for as long as I can stomach whenever we come back. Summer's coming and hotter days are here. Keep cool with the help of our friends at Manscaped, who just launched their fourth generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0.
No way.
4.0? You heard that right. The 4.0.
No way.
Compliment your summer grooming routine with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. The sun is shining and calling your name, fellas. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Three of them are right here. And get ready for summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST.
And did Josh mention this trimmer is waterproof too?
4.0?
In the shower or under the sun, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer for you.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. Before heading outside, use Crop Preserver down under deodorant to keep you on your game in the heat. After a long day of trimming the lawn and whacking the weeds in the summer heat, boost your freshness with the Crop Reviver.
Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers, which I kid you not, am wearing right now,
4.0,
and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Do you guys believe me? Do you want to see them? I'm wearing. You guys want to see my underwear?
Not really.
I don't think I'm wearing them.
Yeah, no. What?
Yeah, I'm wearing them.
Beers, what underwear are you wearing?
Not those, unfortunately.
Manscaped!
I'm wearing the Manscaped.
I wanted to, but they were dirty.
I bought a 3-pack of them.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. Stay fresh this summer and shine with Manscaped.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're in the pit of despair of the Chiefs.
I'm not... The pit of misery.
Dilly dilly.
Sorry. I don't even like that commercial.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well.
Word it.
Oh, no, disagree. I think we nailed
it. I agree.
I was going to actually say, let's take a second and recap what we said 5 minutes ago during the last segment. We said that if this is the only thing that really comes of all of this for Frank Clark, if there's not some other charges that this either leads to or reveals, it's probably not going to be a huge deal. And then during the commercial break, literally 3 minutes ago, Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star tweets out a news story and an update. Sam tweets, quote, Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark was also previously arrested in March on a gun charge during a traffic stop, the Star has learned through California Highway Patrol records. The arrest Sunday was his second gun charge in 3 months.
So a little different.
Matt Derrick quote tweeted that, saying it was March 13th, released that day at a $35,000 bond. So I'm going to read you the new parts of the story here from Sam McDowell, as updated literally 5 minutes ago. 3 months earlier, on March 13th, Clark and another man, Charles Smith, were arrested after officers observed and recovered two loaded firearms inside the vehicle during a traffic stop, according to California Highway Patrol records. Then the details of Sunday night, bailing out then. On March 12th at 11:45 p.m., Pacific time, so that March 12th, March 13th arrest. Clark and Smith were pulled over because the vehicle in which they were traveling did not display a front license plate, according to a police report from California Highway Patrol. The officers noticed the muzzle of a firearm in a bag in the back seat and recovered two loaded firearms, one rifle and one handgun from the vehicle, the report said. Clark was released on $35,000 bond the following morning. And there you go. Remarkably similar to the story we just talked about happening last night.
Yeah.
You go very quickly. I'm really interested to hear how people will listen to the podcast of this show later on, because you go pretty quickly from one incident that, as long as it's a standalone thing, is probably not a huge deal, to what becomes a pattern of behavior that also, 3 months apart, did not get resolved. Because here's the thing. This is going to go from being, I think my tone is going to go from being very understanding and forgiving to being a little harsher. Because a singular mistake, like having an illegal, I mean, like you have to acquire it and maybe you acquired it illegally and also, but like gun laws in different states are different. So even that I'm willing to just by default assume.
It's a gun that could have been legal in one state that's illegal in California.
Sure. Thing, yeah. I have no idea if that's true or not, but I'm willing to extend some hope and some hopeful understanding in that sort of sense. But whenever it happens after the exact same bleep happened to you in March and your solution is to change nothing.
Yep.
And then to get knocked for it again, it goes from being a stupid mistake to being a stupid mistake. That's where the tone has all the difference there. You go, boy, you should have really known better, but you know, it's a standalone thing, and just please, for the love of God, don't do this again and don't have a whole bunch of illegally owned firearms back at your house. Just let's and don't have it connect to anything else. Don't have some Alden Smith stuff. But as long as that's not the case, and then we find out 5 minutes after coming to that conclusion, to be as generous as possible as we could possibly be here, that we're already on issue number two. And at this point, you know what happens whenever you're on issue number two? You start wondering about, is there a three or four? And I don't know. But man, I just, it is the all-time quickest that my attempting to extend some goodwill and some hopeful optimism has been thrown back in my face in radio history. And just a very quick sort of glance across Chief's Twitter at the moment. It seems like that's pretty much the way most people are going right now, is you go from, well, this isn't very good. It's not very good, but I mean, I guess, you know, whatever. It certainly could have been worse. To, well, this is now a pattern of not great behavior. It seems so similar.
Yep.
It is 35 grand and a night in jail and the exact same charges as far as I can tell. And also now I have to imagine I am absolutely leaving my area of expertise here. So if somebody brushes me back a little bit, fine. I have to think that having two of those charges is worse than having one of those charges twice, if you know what I mean. Like, I imagine that if you get charged for that, for whatever felony possession of illegal firearm is, if you get charged for it and I get charged for it, I bet our combined punishments would be worse than one person getting charged with it twice. And now the immediate follow-up question is, do we think that this has merely happened twice now? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. At this point now, we're in total reckless speculation, and who knows.
But it makes you wonder.
But it really does, and it's just not very smart.
No.
It's just not very bright, man.
It's about the $39 million.
I'm gonna do one more little tiptoe. Oh God, Chris Paul's out again for game two.
So it's Kawhi though, so it's fine.
It's been probably. Yeah.
It's been a rough little
5 minute stretch.
Yeah, 10. I got Devin Booker still.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can frame this that isn't a huge overreaction. So I'm trying to be, sort of gentle around the edges of this. But we're going to eventually, even if it's not until 9 o'clock tonight, we're eventually going to talk about Adalberto Mondesi. I love watching Mondesi play baseball. Beard shrugged at me. Do you know who's on the show at 9? Beards, have you been paying attention?
No.
We're not going to talk to... Do you know?
Yeah, I do.
Who's on at 9?
Max Reaper.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Wouldn't it surprise me if we had gotten that wrong?
I think he thinks Max, though, is an NBA guy.
We're not going to talk to Max about Frank Clark. But I love watching Mondesi play baseball. He played the entire shortened season last year.
Yeah.
Whenever he's played this year, he's looked fantastic, but he's, at least for a while now, going to have injury prone around him, and whatever the Royals do, that will be a part of the equation. Calculated risks. We do this all the time. We've talked about this with unvaccinated athletes, to really just get every single SEO optimized phrase into this segment. Your unvaccinated athletes have a higher risk of missing time because they're more likely to catch COVID by a significant amount than the vaccinated athletes. Calculated risks. Whenever you bring in players that have things from their past that make you wonder about, I mean, you can do character if you want, and sometimes that can be a super loaded phrase, oftentimes a very, very racially loaded phrase that, again, I try to tiptoe and at least understand all of the landmines that come with that. Marcus Peters got hit with a whole lot more of character concerns than I think his reputation had earned. And we, you know, people gave Kareem Hunt a longer leash. And I don't know why. Like, I, whatever. But whenever you do, like, it was a story whenever the Chiefs traded for Frank Clark. It's like, oh, yeah, they did just bring another guy who had a issue of a domestic violence charge in college. But he was great in his opening presser. I was there for his opening press conference. He handled questions pretty well. He answered the questions. And at every turn and from the Chiefs and everywhere was just like, no, we trust this guy. He said, this is a good person with good judgment. By the way, I don't know that having whatever the illegalities of these firearms are doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm not telling you that Frank Clark's a terrible person. I'm not willing to say that. But having good judgment is really important. It's why the vaccine questions are reasonable, even though Danny Cannell thinks they're not. Because you need to have good judgment about your health. That's why having good judgment about playing basketball in the offseason comes up. Not riding motorcycles shows up in contracts. Because you need to have good judgment about your surroundings. It's the people that you're around. It's something that I think for a lot of us, and maybe not for every single person, but for a lot of us, it's something that is just banged into our heads as children and growing up and as teenagers even more so. You need to have good judgment about these various situations. Assuming that someone has poor judgment based on nothing is typically some form of stereotyping.
Yes.
Having these multiple data points now on your resume makes you start asking the questions about, wait a second, can we feel good about whatever it is that's going on with you, whatever you're bringing to the table, about you having good judgment in these situations? If you get arrested for illegal gun possession in March, and then you get arrested for illegal gun possession again 3 months later, it's not very good judgment. We live in America, by the way. I don't know if anyone's paid attention to the news. It's not incredibly difficult to have a legally owned gun. Now, again, the rules in Texas and California are very different, to my understanding. But if you don't want to jump through the loopholes or whatever, but you do want to carry a gun around, and then you get pulled over, even if it's for some petty, stupid little reason, like not having a plate on the front. If you run into that issue and you're arrested because you have a gun that you have for any form of illegal reason, now we're on at least strike number two just within 3 months. Does not seem like you're exhibiting very good judgment there. It becomes a part of your entire story, a team that is paying you or would trade for you or whatever. And again, this is not to say Frank Clark had a domestic violence incident in college, therefore the Chiefs should have known he was going to illegally drive guns around in LA 6 or 7 years later or whatever. Not saying that. But if you zoom out far enough, it becomes a really unflattering pattern of behavior. And it's why the tone in this show from segment one to segment two was incredibly different based off of information we got during a commercial break, because it goes from being a offshoot, a standalone, an exception, a blip, a mistake, an accident even, to wondering about a pattern of behavior. I will mention again that Frank Clark does have the highest salary cap hit on the Chiefs roster this year, and that wasn't good before any of this came out.
Incredible Hulk says his biggest issue is Team Z said he's one of the best defensive players in the league.
I am glad that Credible Hulk mentioned that, because I would be lying if I said I did not notice that as I was working on going through the story and everything, and sort of chuckle a little bit. The TMZ story, I wonder if they've added anything else about the second blip here. Oh, this is interesting. At 4:05 p.m. Pacific time, so this would have been right at 6, I think, right? A source close to Clark tells us the NFL star claims the weapon belongs to a member of his security team. We're told attorney Alex Spiro will represent him moving forward in the case. So his defense is, it's not mine. And maybe it's not. And maybe both of those guns are his friends. Or maybe the security team. Let's go that route. Let's just take all that at face value. So you get totally face value. Last time, two guns was with him and a friend. And they both belonged to his friend. And the gun in the rest from last night belonged to a security team. Okay, let's just take both of those things at face value. You just got dinged for this 3 months ago. Get a label maker and put security team gun, property of big security, big buff security guy. I'm imagining the guy from Lilo and Stitch with the glasses, just hulking. Yeah. That's every security guy to me is automatically the dude from Lilo and Stitch.
I will point out it's probably a bad thing for the security team if you don't have your gun on you and it's in the guy you're supposed to protect's car.
Yeah, that's not great.
To be fair, I'm also not a security guard, so I'm not an expert on these matters.
And
maybe that's, you want to keep it there.
And let's say that, the security guard's like, hey, man, you're driving. Here, have my gun so you can have a gun with, by yourself or whatever. I'm assuming he was arrested as the only person in his car. We do not know that for a fact, I suppose. You just, 3 months ago, you got arrested for having an illegal gun in your car. Two of them. Mm-hmm. It would probably be worth being more careful about that. 3 months later.
Yeah.
I don't know. We can take another break.
Oh boy.
At this point,
what's
going
to happen then?
Great point.
Oh boy.
Oh my God.
Would you like me
to read you a tweet that this guy should be ashamed of?
Devin Booker's been suspended for the Western Conference.
Don't you bleeping say that.
I don't want that. I love Devin Booker.
Joe Moore on Twitter. Stupid.
Moore what?
Just you wait. Frank won't be able to play for a while. Good thing Joshua Kane though.
Or what?
No, Beards, that's the other joke.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Tell you what, this has been the most enjoyable show we've done in a while.
Oh, for sure. Stupid Chiefs.
Stupid damn Chiefs.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
No news broke during that segment, so I guess that's good.
Let's see. I don't see anything.
Let me talk about Mondesi for a second. We'll probably have to play some of this audio later on. In fact, Beers, why don't you go ahead and grab me that first one from Dayton Moore today? Because Dayton Moore was actually the one to announce that Adalberto Mondesi was going to the IL, and our own Todd Lebo was out there in person because it was the CU in the Major Leagues event that the Royals do. And so Dayton talked about that, I believe, answering a question from Lebo, who was, again, in person, holding out his phone, recording an interview the old-fashioned way. And Dayton Moore broke the news and talked a little bit about Mondesi going back to the injured list.
This time it's a left oblique. I mean, he's just devastated. And, we just feel so bad for him. We're obviously a much different team when he's on the field. And to replace him, we're going to call up Ryan O'Hearn.
So is this a different oblique than the other one?
Yeah, it's the other side.
So, I mean, it sucks. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'd like to make clear. A couple quickies. One, the Royals are
so much better whenever Adalberto Mondesi plays. By record, by having him in the lineup, by his defense, all of that stuff. It was his first or second game back from this most recent, last previous stint, where he had, I think he had a homer in two of those, like, three games. He had one game with, like, two incredible defensive plays.
Yeah.
He just, I'm not exaggerating. I'm really not. He looks as good playing shortstop as anybody. And then to have power from the shortstop position is unbelievably difficult. It's unbelievably rare, and it does so many incredible things for your lineup, for your team as a whole, for your team, your roster construction, all of that. And I believe it was one game that he missed last year in the truncated season, and I think that is still very, very valid, because it's not like it's the wear and tear of this year that's gotten him down. This dude just simply has not played. He got hurt right before the season, and he's played a dozen games or something to this point.
10 games currently.
So all of that has to exist altogether. It is a combo package. We've talked about Sammy Watkins a million times. Whenever you sign Sammy Watkins, the Ravens especially, now they sign Sammy Watkins. If the Ravens sign Sammy Watkins to play 17 regular season games, they're fools.
Yep.
That pattern is not there for Sammy Watkins. Whenever he is on the field, he made the Chiefs' offense better. Last year, less so. I think he was either dealing with some stuff the whole year or he's lost a step. But there's incredible talent there with the guy who makes the team better, who has a hard time being healthy and being on the field. The Royals have a couple years of arbitration for Mondesi even after this one. And to trade him right now, to put him on the block right now, I don't think makes sense.
It really doesn't.
You're going to see the Sixers do something a little bit similar with Ben Simmons, where they're going to trade him at his lowest possible value. For Mondesi, it's even worse, because right now you're trading a hope. You know what you get for a hope of a guy? I don't know, maybe a little something, but honestly, I would rather, at least for a while, let the Royals ride with him and see if they can reap the benefits of what they're going to have to be very patient to ultimately see. You get an infield with him and Bobby Witt Jr. on the left side. Nicky Lopez is hitting again a little bit and is so good defensively. You want to throw Nicky Lopez at second base and keep Witt out in right field or something? Holy smokes. There's not a better third base, shortstop, second base, defensive trio in baseball.
And the way Nick Prado's hitting in the minors, and he was a guy when drafted who was known as a defensive first baseman. It's like Nick Prado is a very skilled defensive player who is now all of a sudden crushing a baseball. That's a young infield that where Mondesi's the old guy.
Yeah.
At 25.
And Nicky Lopez certainly is not does not have the ceiling of the rest of those guys.
Absolutely.
But if he's your worst player in the infield and is playing like he is right now, guarantee, obviously.
But is at least providing.
If he's your 9-hitter, it's fine. If he's your 7-hitter, you're boned.
Yeah, and like you can deal with one guy in your lineup who's not hitting great when he's providing excellent defensive value.
Yeah, 100%.
And so like you can live with one Nicky Lopez, especially if Bobby Witt is who we think Bobby Witt's going to be. Mondesi's obviously he doesn't have to be 162 games healthy, but you know, ideally just 100. 110.
120 games would hit the button every year for the rest of natural time.
I'd be
for
so
100
happy.
Games, I might do it. This season feels kind of lost. It's not just the losing streaks and then you beat the Red Sox. Woo-hoo. But without Mondesi out there, I don't think that you should have any real delusions of grandeur for the Royals' ability to turn things around right now.
The team can't get to the playoffs if Mondesi's not out there.
This point, if you got healthy Mondesi from this point forward, I don't know if this team is getting back to the playoffs.
They're probably still not, but they're at least, I would say, talent. They're about on equal talent with probably the second wild card team.
Think about what you're saying. Yeah. That Mondesi makes the difference there. Yep. Mondesi takes them from an absolute non-contender to maybe having the talent to contend. As one player in a 9-man lineup, that doesn't happen very often. Mike Trout has not made that difference for the Angels consistently because the Angels have some real garbo around him. And the Royals right now have some real garbo because you're trying to, you know, Hunter Dozier get back to what you'd hoped he would be. Jorge Soler has been a nightmare this year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And their issue with Nicky Lopez. They don't have one Nicky Lopez. They've got like 8 of them, it seems. And it's not totally fair. But it's not been great.
We'll always have opening day for Michael A. Taylor.
But whenever you have the opportunity to have that, here's what I'll say. If the Royals tried to trade Adalberto Mondesi right now at his lowest possible value for some prospect, mm-hmm. I would want, if I was not a Royals fan, if I wasn't in Kansas City, if I wasn't whatever, I would want my team to be on the other side of that trade.
Yeah.
We do that bleep all. We did that for Andrew effing Benintendi. Andrew Benintendi was, well, you know, if he was just the guy that he was a couple of years ago, maybe they could get some nice production out of him. And they have gotten nice production out of Andrew Benintendi. But he's not Alberto Mondesi. I would rather be on the other side of this. And it's not a mental thing. It's not a change of scenery thing. His body keeps catching. And that sucks. And I don't know that he'll ever be fully healthy. But if I have to gamble on one side of that, you give me a chance for another minor league bat or to see if Alberto Mondesi can be the MVP caliber player he looks like, I'll take the latter every time.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.